The story of Samson and Delilah is probably one that you remember from Sunday school as a kid, or that you've seen portrayed even in cartoons on TV, because it's one of those stories that has a lot of action in it. But today we're going to hone in on Delilah's role, and we're going to study her story a little bit. Stay tuned.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like he's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear his voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. I've seen the impact myself through the letters and the updates that I've received as a sponsor. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone, open up a text, and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get back a text with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or a girl to sponsor. When you sponsor a child, we will send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my Bible study, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me and sponsoring a child through Compassion today. Hey friends, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Grohl, and we're continuing our series on the women of the Old Testament. And as we work our way through Judges, we are now at the story of Samson and Delilah. Perhaps it's one that you're more familiar with. If you're just joining us, I'd encourage you to go back to the beginning of the series because we're methodically going through the Old Testament, and each episode kind of builds on each other. And then if you want to dive a little bit deeper, just a reminder that we have daily journaling prompts that go along with each episode. And the reason for that is journaling is just personally something that helps me get the information from my head to my heart. And it can also serve as discussion questions to talk about within your family or with your spouse. And so those are all listed on our Patreon page. The link is in the show notes. And part of the benefit of Patreon, which starts at only $5 a month, is you get ad-free episodes and exclusive content. So we are starting in Judges chapter 16, and I'm starting at verse 1. It says, "One day Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, 'Samson is here.' So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, 'At dawn, we will kill him.' But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with the two posts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, 'See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength, and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver.' So Delilah said to Samson, 'Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued.' Samson answered her, 'If anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man.' Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' But he snapped the bowstrings as easily as pieces of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied." He said, "If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then, with men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, "All this time you have been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied." He replied, "If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric of the loom and tighten it with a pin, I'll become as weak as any other man." So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with a pin. Again, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and pulled up the pin and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. So he told her everything. "No razor has ever been used on my head," he said, "because I have been a Nazarite dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me and I would become as weak as any other man." When Delilah saw what he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back once more. He has told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding grain in the prison, but the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. This is one of those stories that I think most of us are familiar with. I remember even my own kids coming home with coloring pages with Samson pushing down the walls of the temple and his long hair and little kids even dressing up as Samson for trunk or treat, those kinds of things. But today we're going to hone in a little bit on Delilah. And, you know, their story really is intertwined. You really can't separate the two. But I want to talk a little bit about Delilah and the influence that she had on Samson. So Delilah's nationality, where she was from, we're not entirely sure. We don't really know what her family background was. We don't really know what her hometown was. Most scholars suspect that she was Philistine. Others suspect that maybe she was a prostitute at one of the pagan temples. We don't really know. All we know for sure is that she lived somewhere in the Valley of Sorek, because that's what the scriptures say. And since then, her name has been one that you don't necessarily want to name your little girls after. Delilah lived during that 20-year period when Samson was one of the leaders that was being used by God to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And we read about that oppression in Judges chapter 13 through 16. And what we remember about Samson is that whenever God's spirit indwelled in Samson, he had almost like a Marvel comic book style hero personality, and he tore lions apart with his bare hands, and he attacked 30 to 1,000 Philistine soldiers at a time, and it was like the superhero given strength, this God-given strength, and that was essentially his claim to fame. The unfortunate part, and the part that I think sometimes we overlook, is that Samson had a sexual appetite that was not in line with God's standard for anybody in Israel, but especially for a leader of Israel. And so in the biblical record, a couple different times, we see that Delilah was not his only weakness. He knew that as an Israelite, he should not be intermarrying with Philistine women, but he did that anyway. So he married a Philistine woman, and then he goes into Gaza and he gets a prostitute and he spends the night with a prostitute, and then he ends up getting together with Delilah. And so we see throughout the biblical record over the last couple chapters and this chapter that he really has a weakness, and the sexual sin was really his downfall. And so when he gets involved with Delilah, we see this intense relationship unfold for us. But I do think sometimes I just want to point out Delilah was not a follower of Yahweh. She was not a follower of God. She was not somebody that prescribed to the morals and the standards and the worldview that God had put out for the Israelites, not the way that Samson did. And so in some regard, I think sometimes she gets the downfall or she gets the blame for a lot of this without recognizing the fact that Samson willingly went into these relationships. He was being unequally yoked and he was in sexual sin and he knew it. Hey friends, I wanted to take a minute to share with you about one of our new partners, Five Lakes Coffee. For 20 years, Five Lakes has been helping people discover the magic of fresh roasted coffee. They craft roast in small batches, then ship direct so that you are getting the freshest and best tasting coffee. Five Lakes uses the highest quality specialty grade coffee beans from around the world. And let me tell you, we're kind of coffee snobs in my family, and their coffee has converted even my daughter, who is a barista. As a family-owned and family-friendly company, I love their mission. As believers, our family loves supporting other Christian companies, and one of the things I absolutely love about this company is that they believe in loving their neighbors, and they value being good stewards of what God has given them. My two favorites are the Signature Five Lakes Blend and Chris's Blend, because for Chris's Blend, they donate $1 per bag to Forgotten Children's Ministry in Honduras. And guess what? As a podcast listener, you get an exclusive 20% off your first order when you use the code Hearing Jesus. Head over to fivelakes.com and experience the joy of fresh roasted goodness today. Again, head to fivelakes.com and use code Hearing Jesus for 20% off your first order.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in Raw through your favorite podcast app.
And of course, the Philistine leaders wanted to overcome him because he was known for being this like superhero, having this God-given strength, and they wanted to make sure that he was conquered. So they went and they offered Delilah 1,100 pieces of silver apiece so to see if she could get out of him how he was so strong. And of course, Delilah jumped at that opportunity, being a female, being in a culture where women did not have a lot of opportunities to earn that kind of money, she jumped at the opportunity. And he kind of played around with her for a little while. He gave her a couple different false reasons why he had the strength that he had, but eventually she wore him down and he shared with her the truth. And so in the end, when Samson was sleeping, many scholars believe that he was drunk at that point, whether he was drunk on love or alcohol or a little bit of both, we don't know. But Delilah made sure that his head was shaved and he lost his strength. And then at that point, we really don't hear from Delilah again. He ends up being conquered by the Philistines. They gouge his eyes out. They put him in prison. And eventually he met his death. And in some ways, I think there's something that we forget in this part of the story. The reason why God's spirit left him, the strength of God left him, was not necessarily because his hair was cut. It's because he was in sin. It's because he entered into many times this relationship with this Philistine woman and he wet his sexual appetite in a way that he knew was in opposition to God's law. And as a leader of Israel, he himself was leading himself into sin. What does this say to us about Delilah? Well, I think for me, and perhaps my outlook is a little bit different because I'm an outreach pastor. I've been an outreach pastor and worked in lots of outreach ministries for a long time. And what that means is I often work with people that are not yet believers, or perhaps they're believers, but their lifestyle would not necessarily suggest that they're believers. And I think sometimes what happens within the body of Christ, we have an expectation that non-believers should act the way that believers do. If they've not yet come to faith in Christ, I can't expect them to act as if they did. And yet I think that's sometimes what we do with Delilah. But one of the things I was thinking about is how obviously Delilah had this sex appeal that was appealing to Samson. And as women, that's often the case where we have a responsibility with our beauty, the things that God has given us as gifts. And instead of using them just within the confines of marriage, we have a tendency to prostitute those gifts of beauty or our feminine nature. And the reality is men are pretty easily manipulated by that. And so we have a responsibility, yes, of course, to steward those gifts well. But really what this boils down to is another story of Samson being unequally yoked to a non-believer. Because Samson married outside of his own country, and then at this point, we don't know if he got divorced, we don't know what happened to his wife, but now he's been with a prostitute, and now he's been with Delilah. We don't really know how that all happened, if he was cheating on his wife, or what all went down. But what we know is that he was unequally yoked because he was aligning himself three different times, at least that we can see, with people that were not from his country, they were not from his own people group, and they were certainly not from his religion. Had Samson, who is known for being a hero of Israel, he certainly was a hero of Israel at this time, had he married an Israelite, all of this could have been avoided. None of it would have happened. But instead, he took a wife or a lover, at the very least, of a heathen god. She worshipped a heathen god. And as a judge of Israel, a leader of Israel, he went against God's decree, God's law, and he paid the price. It was with his life. And so I think about this because there's so many opportunities for us as believers to get snared. And whether it is sexual sin or addiction or insert favorite sin here, the enemy is always going to try to tempt us in a way that distracts us from God's divine design for our lives. Delilah, in this case, was a snare for him, and he fell right into it. And so as I'm thinking about some possible applications for us today, I think where I've settled is just asking you, what are the snares in your life? And what are the steps that you put in place to avoid those snares? Because even though Samson was a leader, he's no different than you or I. He's human. And he had the call of God on his life, clearly, as a leader in Israel. And instead of holding true to that, like what we've seen with some of the other leaders in Israel, instead, he fell prey to the enemy's snare. And so what are the snares in your life? What are the things that the enemy throws your way? Because what we see in Samson was this habit, this particular habit of sin. And so that's how sin operates a lot of times. There is a persistent habit of sin in our lives. And so the way that we overcome that is identifying what it is. And it's almost like having a battle plan. You know, my husband is military. And one of the things that he's taught me is that you have to study sometimes your enemy to know how they're going to attack. You don't wait for them to attack. You anticipate how they're going to attack. And so if there are persistent sin things that you struggle with in your life, you can almost guarantee that that is also how the enemy is going to attack. And so what can we do? Well, we can set up some accountability structures. Who can you talk to? Who in your life, whether it's somebody in your church or a small group or your friends, maybe not. Sometimes I don't necessarily recommend it being your spouse, because sometimes there's a tendency or a hesitancy to hold you accountable because of the sake of the relationship. So somebody maybe outside of your marriage that can hold you accountable. And then also, if you do fall, who can you go to in confession? I think confession is a really important part of the Christian life that we sometimes forget about. And who can say no to you? Who is somebody in your life that if you do fall into a pattern of sin, that somebody that you respect, somebody that loves you, that can come to you and say, hey, you need to knock this off. I think those are three key aspects of how we can guard against the Delilahs in our life. Let's pray. God, as hard as this story is to read and to hear, I thank you for it because it points out some of the ways that the enemy tries to snare us as believers and to steal away the calling of God on our lives. Lord, I pray that as we kind of just sit with Delilah and Samson's story, that you would help us to recognize both our own responsibility that we have to guard, safeguard the things that you have given us, but then also who are those people in our lives that we can put in place now to offer us accountability that we could confess to, that could say no to us or hold us accountable in the times that perhaps we're starting to slip. And Lord, even in the ways that we have persistent sin in our lives, Lord, help us to have wisdom around that, to be aware of that, and to be able to guard against that. We thank you for the way that you constantly reveal your heart for us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey friends, if this podcast helped encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.